Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we stop making it horrible for the older people and the kids? And I mean, we've got enough smog here in Los Angeles, let alone to deal with the setting these fires and things. It's just not right, and it's not gonna change anything. We'll get our justice. They've won the battle, but they haven't won the war. We'll have our day in court, and that's all we want. And I'm neutral. I love people of color. You know, I'm not like they picking me out to be. We've got to quit. We've got to quit. You know, after all, I mean, I can understand the first upset for the first 2 hours after the verdict, but to keep going on like this, and to see the security guard shot on the ground. It's just not right. It's just not right, because those people will never go home to their families again. And please, we can get along here. We all can get along. We just gotta, you know. I mean, we're all stuck here for a while. Let's try to work it out. Let's try to beat it. You know, let's try and work it out.
Two minutes after the hour, right here live on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. It is Monday, June the 18th, 2012. And I'd like to welcome you to the celebrity roast of Rodney King. That's what today's show is. Every time somebody significant dies, we host what's called the celebrity roast of that person who has died. Because I believe that you shouldn't roast the person when they're alive. You must roast them when they're dead. That's what you should do. Now, everyone says, oh, you shouldn't make fun of the dead. God rest the dead. Respect the dead. Nah, 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 nah. That's garbage. We are going to roast you after you are no longer here when you can't defend yourself.
I'm going to roast you like a damn marshmallow.
No, because Rodney King, I'm a little ticked off at Rodney King right now and his publicist.
Why? How could you be ticked off?
Because he died before he ended up on this show, and he knows he was supposed to be on the show this week. That's why I got beef with him. Don't you go dying on me. You're not supposed to do that. And then to find out why.
Well, at least he died before he came on the show and not right after.
Well, then that would have been bad, because most people would have blamed me for killing him.
No, now you can blame his juror girlfriend.
His juror fiance. We're going to get into that. Oh, we're going to get into that. Now, see, I've already got an issue right now.
On that stand, like, my man is not.
What is that about? I don't know whether or not any of you know this. But let us be the first to tell you. The woman who called the police at 5:25 a.m. on Father's Day to let the police know that Rodney King was underwater in his backyard pool, at the bottom of the pool, no less, bottom of the pool, supposed to be a good swimmer, bottom of the pool, dead. The woman who called in, his fiance,
Jumping in the pool and trying to
she can't jump in the pool because she claims she's afraid of water. Dirty bitch. But my problem is,
I don't care if I'm afraid of water or not. If my boo falls to the bottom of the pool, I'm gonna have to suck it up.
Panic would strike, and you would run in there.
Adrenaline would
take over.
to save your loved one's life.
Right.
But this joker said,
yeah.
Oh, splash.
I can't swim.
In the pool, she said, ching, ching, ching.
I can't swim. She calls the authorities. They get there. They pull out Rodney King. They drag him out of this pool. And he's pronounced dead at 6:11. But anyway, this broad, his fiance.
So at 5:25 in the morning.
He's 5:25 is when the phone call came in that he was in the pool drowning. Less than an hour later.
So it was 46 minutes later.
That he was pronounced dead. Now we'll get into all that other stuff. I don't want to jump ahead. I want to deal with the facts here. This fiance. I didn't even know Rodney King had a fiance. And I saw a video of this broad a little while ago. Mary, I showed you the video of this broad.
Yeah.
Turns out this broad was a juror in his civil case where he won $3.8 million. Inappropriate?
How convenient.
Yeah, exactly. Inappropriate, Mary? Inappropriate?
More like Negro-rific.
Inappropriate.
No, I shouldn't say that. I won't say that. No, more like money hungry.
How does a juror end up dating Rodney King after he wins $3.8 million?
Of course he did. He had $3.8 million.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the basis?
And I bet you she was probably the whatchamacallit?
Four person.
The four person.
But you know what? I mean, how do you send that email to Rodney King? Or how do you contact Rodney King after that happens? Like, what do you say? It's like, hey, Rodney. Hey, yeah. You know, I was a juror in your civil trial, and I saw you in the courtroom. I really thought that you were so attractive and so nice.
That Jerry curl was just making me juicy.
And I was wondering whether or not you might be interested in, you know, going out for a cup of coffee or something.
Or did you call him and play Mary Jane?
Yeah, whatever. But, you know what I'm saying? But how does he end up with a juror in his civil case? This screams of impropriety.
Well, I mean, he was known in the media. She probably, you know, looked him up after the fact.
I've never ever seen somebody receive an ass whooping.
Or maybe during the case, they had been eyeing each other the whole time.
Okay, that's quite possible. But the bottom line is, I've never seen someone.
The number you dialed is not accepting calls at this time. The number you dialed is not accepting calls at this time.
I don't know exactly what that was.
Not sure either. Hopefully,
I don't understand how an ass whipping like Rodney King took from those five officers would then push a woman to say, I'm going to date that man. He could take a beating.
$3.8 million.
Oh, yeah, I'm sitting up here agreeing with you. It clearly was motivated by money, but I'm trying to figure out when she became his fiance. But I don't know. Let me read this thing. Because I went on Wikipedia. And by the way, don't trust Wikipedia. It's often wrong as opposed to.
I changed the story 2 hours ago.
Yeah, they'll change the story.
No,
on
I
you.
Changed the story.
Oh, you ago. Changed it? Yeah, you can.
I know.
You can. Let me get to this thing. Let me see.
She said, boo, I need more.
I want to get to the civil.
She probably told him that it was her. That it was because of her he won the money. She probably told him that she convinced all the rest of the jurors to give him the money.
Right, and he found.
And then he felt obligated.
He felt obligated? You think he was a product of obligation behind that?
Probably.
I mean, this is quite possible. He found something like that attractive.
I know he didn't just fall in no damn pool. And he was an experienced swimmer. He wasn't just a good swimmer.
Yeah, in fact, he
and often. How do you fall in the pool? She was standing right there talking to him and said that, oh, then she heard a splash and she called 911 because she was too afraid to jump in the pool.
Yeah, okay. It says here, let me see, post-arrest events. King was taken to Pacifica Hospital immediately after his arrest. He suffered a fractured facial bone a broken right ankle, and numerous bruises and lacerations. In a negligence claim filed with the city, King alleged that he had suffered 11 skull fractures, permanent brain damage, broken bones and teeth, kidney damage, and emotional and physical trauma. Blood and urine samples taken from King five hours after his arrest showed that he could be presumed intoxicated under California law. The tests also showed traces of marijuana, but no indication of PCP or any other illegal drug. At Pacifica Hospital, where King was taken for the initial treatment, nurses reported that the officers who accompanied King, including Wynn, one of the officers that was charged, openly joked and bragged about the number of times King had been hit. King sued the city over the beating, settling for $3.8 million, which, of course, this woman was a juror of. So she didn't actually play a part in his award.
Well, no, she did, because the jury plays a part in that award.
No.
No, they do.
A settlement, you don't need a jury. You're settling out of court. When you settle, you don't settle with the jury. Jury has no role in that. But I'm sure that her being on that jury may have promoted, for her, the idea that she should go out there and go, you know, pursue him. And I'm not suggesting she's an unattractive woman.
Just not your type.
Yeah, is she not my type?
No, I don't think so.
But now friends are
questioning.
No, hell no.
Well, okay.
Right. But now friends of Rodney King are suggesting that she may not be telling the truth because they said that she's changed her story. Now, look, I'm going to go here. I got to go here. Truth of the matter is that, look, Rodney King is a high-profile figure because of the aftermath of the acquittal of the officers that beat him. And the reason why he is profiled in the way that he is because of the way that the African-American community in Los Angeles reacted to the acquittal of the officers, which resulted in riots that cost $1 billion in Los Angeles, caused the deaths of 55, 54, some odd people. Innocent people died during these riots. The looting, all of it. So that's why Rodney King will always be associated with that riot, because it was, you know, it was national
news. It was a riot
news.
For him.
It was, well, no.
Well, it wasn't, but it was supposed to be a riot for justice.
No. Was it really a riot, though? A riot that results in looting and stealing of goods is what could possibly...
So what are you saying? It was a reason just for them to get out there and take whatever they wanted to?
Oh, you're... Okay, so you're angry at the verdict. So what do you go out and do behind that? You're angry at the verdict. The police officers get off.
You
and
protest.
Then your response is to... You protest, right? But they don't protest. They start burning down local businesses.
Yeah, like the local businesses did something.
Yeah, local
like
businesses aren't responsible whatsoever. They are no reason why the police department... If you want to protest, protest the Los Angeles Police Department. Go burn that down. I'm not suggesting that you should, but that would have made sense. But what's the reason why they didn't go down to the police department and protest?
Because they got killed.
So it wasn't about being angry about the verdict in the cases of the police officers. It had nothing to do with it. What about beating Reginald Denny, hitting him with a brick, the truck driver?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Who they threw the stone at when he was lying on the ground. The kid was throwing his leg up, putting his hands like, yeah, victory! I just beat the hell out of an innocent, docile white man just driving down the street. He had nothing to do with Rodney King. He had nothing to do with the police officers who beat him that day. Now, I give Rodney credit for one thing, and that is being inarticulate.
Being what?
Inarticulate.
Inarticulate?
Yes. That means not
in. Not
inarticulate.
Not like A-N-A.
Inarticulate. In other words, he was not a great public speaker. Yes. He had no public speaking
abilities.
Training. He was just some Negro in the street. Got his ass whipped by the cops. But everybody wanted to know what he had to say about the riots. Three days into the riots.
The cops should have never done that to him.
So what?
What you mean, so what?
So what?
They shouldn't have. That was wrong.
Was it?
Of course it was wrong. Reese, come on now.
I don't agree with that.
You think that they beat him, that it was okay if they beat him like that?
Why not?
Oh, my God.
What's so wrong with beating him?
I'm done with that comment.
They didn't kill him.
So what?
Anybody forget the fact that Rodney's dead? And he ain't dead because the police officers whipped his ass.
That doesn't mean that it was right for them to do that.
Prove to me that they weren't. They were acquitted. No, they didn't beat him half to death. They beat him bad, but they ain't beat him half to death.
But they don't have the right to do that.
Why not?
Because it did not take all of them people to subdue one man.
Did Rodney lay on the ground and put his hands behind his head and just lie down?
I don't know.
No, he did not. If you watch the video, he does not. He continues to get up.
Yeah, but all of the men that were on him couldn't have handcuffed him.
But did he get on the ground?
It doesn't matter. They could have got him to the ground.
Whoa. So you're telling me that one baton beating wouldn't say, all right, you know, these brothers are serious. These men are serious. They're going to whip my ass.
Reese.
I'm getting on the ground. No, I'm asking you a question.
I'm asking
a legitimate question. The police officers are surrounding you. You don't have a weapon. They've all got batons. They've not pulled out guns. They pull out a baton. Two or three guys get you. Pow, pow, pow. And you still move? They say, get on the ground. And you go, nah, man, I'm all right. Pow, pow, pow. I said, get on the ground. Nah, son, I'm going to stand up. Pow, pow, pow. No. Yeah, so you have never watched the video?
It's been so long ago.
Watch the video. Rodney King doesn't get on the ground. If he had lied on the ground and they were just beating him and he was not moving, I'm pretty sure that the beatings would have stopped. Now, I'm not saying that beating Rodney King was 100% right.
It can't even be 5% right, Reese. Come on now.
I'm putting part of the onus on Rodney King. I have to. I got to put part of the onus on Rodney King. The number's 347-308-8701. It's Reese on the radio. Let's take a call. Who do we have on the line with us now? Who's this?
This is Jim from Boston.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
All right. I emailed you a little while back, and you responded. It was great. I got a little thing on the Rodney King thing. I was lived in Florida for a while, and I was a little intoxicated. And one of Orlando's finest decided to hit me across the stomach with a club, and I pretty much subdued after the first hit. he didn't have to sit there and beat me for a while. I went down, and I subdued. didn't take a beating to take me down.
You realize, okay, this guy's serious. If I don't respond in the appropriate way, I'm going to hit the ground. I'm going to get hit some more.
When his friend showed up, I knew I was going to get really hit, so I just let him cuff me and take me away.
Exactly. So
and I had no charges on me. It was my brother-in-law that was driving and stuff, and I got out, but I was mouthy, and he made sure I didn't mouth off, and the first time he hit me, that's all it took.
That's the problem. I understand, and I appreciate that, you know, they hit you one time and you got down and that was...
Abided by the law.
Okay, but this is the problem. You can say whatever you want to say. That's why this is a free country. That's why we live in America.
You do understand anything you say can and will be used against you, and you have the right to remain silent, right?
Okay, yeah, but you can still say whatever you want to say.
Fair enough. At your own demise.
But you can't arrest somebody for mouthing off to you.
But I've seen the video of Rodney King, and he did not get. He kept trying to get up.
Yeah. trying to get up. Exactly. I'm sitting up here going, obviously, I'm drunk.
But what about
I've been smoking a little bit of weed, and these guys are beating me down. And there's something
and
in Rodney King. No, you know,
he
was in the car with two other individuals who were there as witnesses. All he had to do was just say, is comply. It's real simple. Get on the ground, and that's it. But here's an interesting point about
but
that.
But they beat him to a pulp.
I want to bring this up. What did you say your name was? Jim, right?
Yeah.
Jim, let me bring this up to you. Rodney King, in that car chase, which led to his beating.
Yeah, I was in a car chase, too, at the time.
Well, you're a little forthcoming, Jim.
Well, I wasn't driving, though.
Write this down. Here, very simple. Rodney King was on parole at the time, right, that he was chased. The reason why he didn't stop when police officers told him to pull over, they put their
parole.
Right. So he ran. He led them in a high-speed chase that went from 65 to, like, 80 miles an hour. He's speeding. Not only does he end that speeding chase with not getting down when they told him to do, he keeps trying to get up. In their minds, this is a person trying to escape.
Mm-hmm.
That's already in their minds. So I'm not making Rodney King some victim.
Yeah, but
he had no intention of subduing to the police's authority. He was a runner. And the police officer was going
to
say, if I got
to
beat you...
They didn't have to take the level of violence that they took. They did not. They're trained to take people down and handcuff them and get the situation under control. They did not have to beat him like that. They didn't.
That's
how
you get people under control sometimes, though. If it was nowadays, it'd be a taser, and they would have tased him, and he would have been down in a minute.
But
it was a different time.
They did taser him.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
And he still got up?
And of course he still kept going. He was high on alcohol and weed. He thought he was invincible. The guy had beer muscles, for crying out loud. Hey, come on, you're from Boston.
Yeah.
You know what beer muscles are. We get them all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's why they slapped me down. I had gin muscles, though.
Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it, man.
All right.
I appreciate you checking us out, man. A lot of people don't seem to understand that about this whole deal with Rodney King. He's no victim here. He's no victim.
He is a victim.
Of what?
Of police brutality.
But the jury...
Excessive police brutality.
But a jury said he wasn't.
Well, that's...
The jury said that they weren't in any way culpable in that matter.
That's their opinion.
And they gave him $3.8 million for the ass whipping. I'm sorry. Look, some fighters don't get that money. You know, for going into the ring and taking a beating. Huh? Come on.
I don't know. I don't agree with it.
I know you don't agree with it. Of course you don't.
And I think his fiance killed him.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Well,
but we are going to investigate it.
She's got something to do with it.
Well, we'll find out. I promise you we will. We've got more on Rodney King because I've got to play this audio. It's important that we do. Rodney King talking to the public, begging them to calm down.
Can't we all just get along?
He doesn't say, can't we all just get along? He says, can't we all get along?
Well, whatever.
People have always... It's almost like the line in Star Wars, in Empire Strikes Back. When everybody thinks that Darth Vader says, Luke, I am your father. He doesn't say that. He just says, I am your father. People always misconstrue it. It's, you know, just like they say about Sarah Palin. They say Sarah Palin says, I can see Russia from my house. She never said that.
Let's
get the
quote. What did she
say? She said that at night from her home that she can see the lights from Russia. She says that's how close we are to Russia. But it was Tina Fey playing Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live, who said, I can see Russia from my house, and it's always been attributed to her. So, he didn't say, can't we all just get along? He just said, can't we just get along? Well, we'll play the audio. We have it. We'll get back. It's Reese on the Radio. Stick around. And don't forget, we're going to talk about the Bacon Sunday. I tried it today. You might not be surprised at my review. It's Reese on the Radio.
You may be surprised by my
interviews on the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up and spend some time with Reese on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. Going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve and it's called 211 for that matter is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward in the state of our union this morning.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz. There's Dr. Phil. There's Dr. Drew. There's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Reese on the Radio, and we're back 31 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com on this Monday, Maniac Monday, June the 18th, 2012. Plenty of things I want to talk about. Today, it's a lot of news going on. I want to talk about media bias. I will discuss that today. I'm going to talk about Sunday, this coming Sunday. A very important thing is happening to ReSun Radio, and I want a lot of people to be a part of that. I will be letting you in on little bits of clues about what's going to be happening on Sunday. ReSun Radio will be returning to terrestrial radio, and you will find out about that this week. I'm going to be letting in little bits of hints. By the way, a lot of you don't know this, but I have done terrestrial radio already. I've been a guest.
A lot more people know that than you think know that.
Well, I've been guesting on some regular terrestrial radio for the past couple of months. And a big show is about to come up this coming Sunday, and I'm going to let you guys know the details of that. And, you know, I'll let you know about more things about that. Excuse me. Derek the Bounty Hunter is on the line, so I'm glad he's there. I'm going to talk to him about Rodney King, because I'm pretty sure he's got an opinion about that. I want to say this, and I didn't get to do a monologue in the beginning about Rodney King. But, of course, today's show is the celebrity roast of Rodney King. Every time someone dies, we did the celebrity roast of Whitney Houston. We did the celebrity roast of Biggie Smalls on the anniversary of his death. And that's what it is we do. It's a roast. That's right. When you die, then we insult you. That's what we do here. The rest of them may not be a part of that. I'm not saying Mary, Mary, Why You Bugging is co-signing that. I'm not saying JC the producer is co-signing that. But that's me. So let me say this. I want people to know this and understand this. Rodney King is no martyr. That's what I want people to know. Rodney King is no martyr. And he never will be a martyr. He can't be. No matter how hard people try, he cannot be martyred. Rodney King is a criminal. Rodney King is a blight on society, the African American community. He is a loser. And now he's dead. And my view on that is, so what? What did Rodney King do to improve our world? Nothing. He plagued it with ridiculousness.
Wow.
What did he do? son of a bitch wins $3.8 million in a settlement with the state of California. What does this moron do? First thing he does is start a rap label. Loser. He started a rap
Maybe
league.
He didn't know anything.
No, I don't. Did we not have a discussion? This monologue time, I'll let you get in.
But
he started a rap label at the height of one of the most vilest points of hip hop. You know, N.W.A. Bang Bang Shoot 'Em Up, Nigga Die Slow. Me give a ish about a bitch. I ain't a sucker. He started a rap label in that time. He wasn't producing groups like De La Soul, The Tribe Called Quest, Leaders of the New School. He wasn't promoting guys like KRS-One, even though I ardently disagree with his politics. But the man had positive messages to his black people. He wasn't promoting that. He was trying to get in where he fit in. All he did was take his money and try to promote negativity. He got stopped for being high on marijuana and alcohol. Driving without a suspended license. How many times has Rodney King been pulled over for driving under the influence? This was a guy that the media was trying to promote as some sort of activist. Well, Rodney King is no Rosa Parks. He's no Medgar Evers. Oh, hell, he ain't even Mumia. And I don't know the story about Mumia, but as far as I'm concerned, he's a cop killer. But you get my point. Oh, hell, he ain't even Tupac or Biggie Smalls. He didn't bring anybody any joy. Rodney King ain't never ever helped anybody wiggle their ass at the club. Rodney King was nothing more than an ass-whipping victim. That's it. He wasn't no activist. Man ended up on celebrity rehab. How was that going to change the lives of young black men getting their ass whipped by police officers? Celebrity rehab. Man waits until right before he dies to release a book. That's what we're going to have him on the show and talk about. What gives you the right, some 20 years later, to finally talk about or to relive your ass whipping? Where you been for 20 years?
Getting high.
Yeah, getting high, getting drunk. You're a nobody. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Your existence meant nothing.
Wow, Reese.
No, that's the truth. Sorry, Rodney. Your existence meant nothing. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
To his
no,
it didn't. Family.
To his fiance? To his fiance?
To his mother,
mean,
and his father.
Well, his mother. Well, he didn't do and do anything good for his mother or father. What did he do for them? He went out and got high and got drunk. Ended up in jail. Ended up on parole. What did he do to benefit their lives?
What
did he do to benefit their lives? He left them no lineage. You're a skid mark in media. The only reason why we're talking about you right now on this show is because you're a skid mark. You're no martyr. You were a loser. You didn't do anything to benefit anybody behind your story. Even if there are people out there to believe that you were unjustly beaten, what did you do? Your life will always be a soundbite, my man. You're a freaking T-shirt. That's it. You're a freaking T-shirt. Can't we all get along? That's it. That's who you are. You're a joke, man. Even in living color made fun of you. You're no prophet. The world isn't going to change based upon your death. No matter how hard the media tries to make you into some figure, you're nothing. You always were nothing. And deep down, at the bottom of that pool,
oh my God,
you knew it. That's harsh, Mary. You think that's harsh? Go ahead. Come on, come on, come on. I'm going to get Derek in a minute.
You've absolutely been, like, cruel.
You thought what I said was cruel?
Okay. I understand where you're coming from as far as, like, in the media spotlight and so on and so on.
What were you getting media spotlight for? Because you got an ass whipping that was caught on tape.
Okay. Can I talk now?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'll let you talk now.
Go ahead. I apologize. Go on.
Regardless of your opinion or what you feel is factual or not, the man still was a human being, regardless of his faults, his, you know, his ups, his downs.
Yeah, we all have faults.
He still was a human being.
So?
So his life meant something to
Jerry Sandusky is a human being. Jerry Sandusky is a human being. Are you telling me? No. You're using the term human being. Jerry Sandusky is a human being. Are you giving him the same credit? Huh? He was an assistant coach to Joe Paterno, one of the most storied coaches in NCAA football history. You're going to give Jerry Sandusky a break? I'm just asking. You're using the term human being.
Interrupting me.
I'm sorry. Go on.
Everyone is a human being. People have issues. People make mistakes. I'm not justifying what he did or what he didn't do or whatever. All I'm saying is that as far as his family is concerned, there were people in his life that cared about him, that his life did mean something to them. And all I'm saying is that you should show, you know what I'm saying? It's like you got to be respectful to those people. Even if you don't care about him or you don't, you know what I mean? You have to be respectful to those people. Come on.
I don't have to do anything.
No, you know what? You don't have to do anything. And you so choose not to, and that's fine. But, I mean, he had family. He had people in his life.
So what?
About him. So I feel for those people. Somebody lost a son today. Somebody lost a brother. Somebody lost a friend. Somebody lost...
Hitler had... Wait, Hitler? I'm not comparing him to Hitler, but I'm saying...
You are comparing him to Hitler.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, come on. Now, we have to attribute what you're just saying to everybody who was a scumbag?
Even Hitler. He was somebody's son, too.
The number's 347-308-8701. Let's talk to Derek the Bounty Hunter. Derek, am I wrong in my assessment of Rodney King?
Yeah. You know, because of him, you know, LAPD doesn't treat brothers the same way they used to. Duh. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You're going to sit over here and tell me in the aftermath of the LA riots, nobody learned anything? You say, no, I was just black people burning down their neighborhood. See, there was no lessons to be learned from that. You know, you sit over here and say Rodney King was a criminal. I mean, to me, it was like, okay, he was an alcoholic, you know. If alcoholism is a disease, like you know, all these clinical people is, yeah, man, this dude had a damn disease. You know, so, I mean, if anything, he couldn't control his impulses. But, I mean, I don't consider him an activist. You know what I'm saying? And then you're sitting over here talking about him trying to get a record label started. I mean, okay, it might have been. All right, let's keep it real. You know, I sit over here and I always sit there thinking, hindsight, boy, if I had a rap career, what type of rapper I would have wanted to be? I want to be one that makes money. Which ones make money? The damn gangster rappers, homie. Not that education rap. Nobody wants to hear that education crap. What type of degree does KRS-One have? And he's in a video trying to, like he's teaching a class. Man, give me a break, man. Does he even have a GED? You know?
Hold on. Are you saying that Rodney King is more relevant than KRS-One?
No, I'm sitting over here saying that, you know, the man, look, okay, what happened to him changed America, man. What happened to him, it has. You know, like I said, the police just can't do you. The way that they were doing people in the past was clearly wrong, dude. Clearly wrong. You know what I mean? You know, the way they were doing people was wrong because of Rodney King. Because somebody videotaped what they did to Rodney King, things had to change. Trust me. Why do you think police don't? Why do you think they have those cameras in police cars? All of that is an offset of what happened to Rodney King, dude. After Rodney King, people want to see what the police do to you.
Yeah, but hold on. Bottom line is, Rodney King, in that grand scheme of things, in essence, he's a footnote.
I mean, he might be a footnote, but because of what happened to him, man, America changed, bro.
But he's
like
a
The camera in the police cars alone is because of Rodney King, man.
Wait, I'm asking you a question. What did Rodney King do actively? Did he go out there
I didn't need Rodney King to be my activist, man. You know, first of all, man, you know, come on, man.
You.
I don't need him to be my activist. You know what I'm saying? Shoot, seriously. What do I need him to be my activist for?
Wait, Derek, think about what you're saying. Rosa Parks, all she did was refuse to get out of a seat and ended up going to jail because she refused to do it. And this woman is the mother of the civil rights movement just on that. Rodney King.
Yeah, like I said, that one act alone changed things, man.
Let me finish, Derek. That's what I'm saying. It was an act of defiance. It was civil disobedience. That simple act and going to jail, getting arrested for it, was the birth of the civil rights movement. And that woman has always been, in her entire life, has been an active member of that movement until she died.
Yeah,
What did Rodney King do to promote or push that narrative after what you say changed the scope of the police department?
I never said Rodney King. Look, dude was an alcoholic, man. They got his butt whipped on videotape. You know, we sit over here and say, butt whipped. You know, this dude almost died, man. They had to do like 5 hours worth of surgery.
Derek, he did not almost die.
Dude, hold on now. He almost died, man. You gonna sit up? Did you see his eye? What? That's a normal eye.
There are no medical reports that support that Rodney King.
Oh my God, dude! You did not see Rodney King's eyes after the butt whip he took from the policeman. Oh, that's just a normal bloodshot.
What he suffered was a brutal beating, and
dude, that was brutal, man.
There was nothing
about that.
I'm not disputing it was a brutal, brutal beating. What I'm saying is that Rodney King in no way suffered from life-threatening injuries. He did.
Dude, they even said on the news tonight that he had to get 5 hours worth of surgery after that butt whipping there. Dude, man, 5 hours worth of surgery? Oh, that ain't nothing, huh?
I'm not saying it's nothing. I'm just saying it's not life-threatening. Let's take a call. Hold on. Number 347-308-8701. Calling in from the 646 area code. Who's this?
This is Edward from Connecticut.
Hey, Edward.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up? Hey, Edward, help me out here. Where am I wrong?
Well, this is just one thing I want to clear up. And sometimes, you know, people's memories do fade after time. I'm not sure who that Derek or Kool-Aid Man. I'm not sure.
That's Derek the Bounty Hunter.
Derek. Okay, he said this man had life-threatening injuries. Now, from what I'm seeing, he suffered a fractured facial bone, a broken right ankle, bruises and lacerations, skull fractures, kidney damage, and emotional and physical trauma. I don't think any of those are immediate life-threatening injuries.
They're not life-threatening. Derek, do you care to respond to that?
Look, I'm going by what I saw on the news. They said this man had to get 5 hours worth of surgery, man. You know, they said he could
have
died.
Well, I'm not disputing that he had to have 5 hours worth of surgery. I'm talking about the particular injuries. No one would say those are immediately life-threatening. Yes. Yeah, you can have numerous injuries that could take 5 hours of surgery, but that doesn't, you know, the amount of hours of surgery doesn't mean that you had life-threatening injuries,
basically. By the way, gastric bypass surgery takes more than 5 hours. I mean, come on. Go ahead, Mary.
Look.
Derek, hold on. Let Mary respond.
Okay. Edward.
Mary, I can't hear you.
Yeah, very low.
Mary, they can't. Okay, hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
I generally will agree with you, Edward. We have a, you know, I think that we generally agree on things. So, But you saying that he had a fractured skull, damage to his kidneys, those are potentially life-threatening situations.
Potentially?
Yes.
In what way? The jaw, is it connected to the heart muscle? I mean,
no,
what?
A fractured skull?
He had a facial fracture.
No, he also had skull damage.
No, he didn't. No,
Edward,
is there any report?
Not what you said?
There's no report that says that he had that kind of fracture. In fact, here it is. King was taken to Pacifica Hospital immediately after his arrest. He suffered a fractured facial bone, a broken right ankle, and numerous bruises and lacerations. In a negligence claim by the city, King alleged that he had suffered skull fractures, 11 skull fractures, permanent brain damage. Permanent brain damage? He wrote a book.
Did you listen to how he speaks?
Broken bones and teeth.
Wait a minute. Did you hear how he spoke?
Permanent brain damage means that he would have been, you know, full retard. Pardon the expression.
No, it doesn't. You can have
take into account those particular claims were in his negligence claim.
Exactly. You're absolutely right, Edward. His claims were in his complaint. When he was suing them, there's no evidence that any of that happened. No evidence that he had multiple brain lacerations. None. In fact, if you watch,
there was no evidence that Junior Seau had numerous brain lacerations. And look what the hell he did.
I don't know what that means, Derek. I don't even know what that's supposed to be. It's time for me to get. Let me get to my guy. I gotta take this, Mike in Florida.
Hey, Reed. Man, Rodney King won what we white folks call the Negro lottery when he got his ass whipped.
Oh,
okay.
What?
That was the best thing that ever happened to him. Was getting
his
ass whipped by the police. He got $3.8 million. Come on, man.
Oh, he didn't deserve it.
Bro. Why did Rodney King get stopped?
Because he was right in front of police.
What was he doing? He was drunk off his ass, right?
Yeah, he was drunk and running in front of police. Yes, okay.
At point 19, okay? What if he had run over a little old lady crossing the street in his... How many police lives did he risk with his nonsense?
Look, man, like I said, how come if the police are
these horrible racists, how come the other two brothers in the car didn't get an ass whipping at all?
That's true, because he was in the car with two other brothers.
Because the police
and those brothers got out of the car and sat down and got handcuffed and there was no truck.
Precise blows they were putting on him, man. Dude, that explains a lot. Expends a lot of energy, man. Come on now.
Derek, you're too funny for me. Listen, the bottom line is that you cannot make a martyr out of Rodney King. And I can't believe that people are trying to do that. Why are you trying to make a martyr out of this criminal?
I'm not making a martyr out of him, but I'm over here like, look, you know, like I said, because of what happened to him, things changed in America, man. Dude, that's like a turning point in America. You know,
but
like
yeah,
I said,
because of Rodney King,
now whenever police do something, man, they are worried about that video camera, ain't they? Boy, they're really worried about that video phone, huh? All that goes back to Rodney King, dude.
Hold on. I'm willing to accept that premise, Derek. I'm willing to accept the premise that the police officers now are held to a higher accountability. I will agree with you about that 100%. But the bottom line is that the reason why these officers were acquitted is because, listen, if Rodney King felt that his life was in danger and those officers were going to kill him, as he suggested, why didn't he just lie on the ground and not move? Why didn't he do that? And Derek, answer that question. Don't go anywhere else. Don't even try to go anywhere else. Just answer the question. The police officers, five of them, surrounding him, beating him with batons. He's got no weapon, why didn't he just lie on the ground motionless? Answer that.
Man, look, I don't know. Look, he's drunk, man. I don't know what his thing is. Look, I'm not over here sitting over saying,
well, Derek,
like, you know,
hold on. So
Robert
Derek,
King is
my
not
premise,
hero.
Hold on,
but dude,
so
what
Derek,
happened to him was
premise,
dead wrong,
wait,
man.
Wait, Derek, so the point that I made was that here is a guy who led the police officers on a high-speed chase at speeds up to 80 miles an hour. I heard it was 90, but according to the official report, it's 80 miles an hour. He led
how do we know? Who had the damn radar gun out going on there, right? We're going, here we go. He might have.
Hold on. Police officers are behind him, and they can read their own speedometer, Derek.
Look,
so,
man,
so forget about that. They have their own speedometer chasing him in a car. So hold on. So they're chasing him. Here's a guy they chase for a while. They get him out the car. They start grabbing him or beating him with batons. He still continues to get up. Here is a man who is known by the police to try to escape. That is the premise of this whole altercation. A man trying to escape imprisonment. And he keeps getting up. So they keep beating him to the ground. So I'm going to say this to you again. If he thought that his life was in danger, if he thought the cops were going to kill him, why not lie on the ground?
And like I said, he was drunk, you know. But you know, another thing I don't like here, we all sit over here and say, you know, what Rodney King did with, a Negro lottery. You know, I remember a few years ago. I think it was about a year or two after Rodney King. Some girl, she got her breast felt by her boss. She went up on the stand and she cried and she got $10 million. Now, what is worth more, Rodney getting his butt whipped by the police or getting your tits felt by your boss? You know what I'm saying?
That's a politics thing. We're talking about $5 million.
I want to feel. I want to feel what $10 million titties feel like. You know what I'm saying?
Derek, that is a feminist. No, that's just feminist rule over.
I guess that's white girl lottery, huh? You know what I'm saying?
Derek, you can't compare the two. But you got a great point.
Rodney got his ass whipped, dude.
No, Derek, I'll admit, you got a great point. I'll admit that the two do not, in no way do the two mesh. Because a woman who got her breast felt should not be able to get $10 million when Rodney King can settle for 3.8. I agree.
I don't agree with that at all. Rodney King put himself in this situation. I'm not familiar with the particular case that he's talking about, but it sounds like this may have been a workplace harassment.
Sexual harassment. You're probably right. But
all I'm saying, they must have been some really nice breasts, you know, because my girlfriend just spent $4,000 for her breasts, you know. And I see. Don't get me wrong. I like the $4,000 shit. I want to know what the $10 million titties look like. It was like, wow. It must have been better than Dolly Parton in her prime, man.
Well, you know, before King and the beating, LAPD used to use a chokehold, right? That was their go-to. They would choke people out. If somebody was, they would choke them out. And what happened is a few people died, and all the liberals in the black community freaked out because, oh, they were killing people. So they couldn't choke people anymore. So after they couldn't choke them, they had to beat them.
So,
if they'd been allowed to choke Rodney King out, they wouldn't have had to beat him. But the ACLU said that using a chokehold was improper. And I really don't think they had tasers back. What was this, 91, 92?
Right.
Nah, they did have tasers.
This was 1991. Let's take another.
So they had...
Let's take another call before we go to the top of the hour. The number is 347-308-8701. Let's see who's on the line. You're on with Reese on the Radio. Who's this?
Who lost your damn minds?
It's JC, the producer. What's up?
Hello? Oh, my God. You people have lost your damn mind.
Well, how have we lost our minds, JC?
Holy crap. Wait, hold on. If they would have choked him out, he would be dead. So that would resort to beating him?
They don't die in UFC matches. You just choke him until he goes unconscious.
That's okay? You're saying that's okay?
Yeah,
man.
Better than beating him $3.8 million worth. He wouldn't have had to go unconscious if they choked him unconscious.
That's a lottery win?
Well, yeah. He won 3.8 million for what? How much of his time? You know, he got beat for what? A minute? And
oh,
had 5 hours
now.
Of hospital treatment and got 3.8 mil? Come on,
dude,
man.
I want the police to beat you down and think how much you would take.
First of all, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen because it's not going to happen because I'm white. Okay, so white guys don't get their ass whipped by the police.
Well, at least you admit you got the protection for, you got the complexion for protection.
Hold on a second. You sit over here and act like it won't happen to you. Remember, that was a black cop that tased that white dude. Remember, don't tase me, bro. That was a black cop getting rejected
by
that white
kid. I got tasered. He deserved it. But, you know, I've been stopped by the police. And when the police stop you, you say, oh, hi, officer, what did I do? They don't beat your ass.
All right, let's take a break. We gotta go to the top of the hour, guys. We're gonna put everybody on hold. We got plenty of other news to get into. Oh man, we got a full house tonight. Everybody is calling in. It's on the radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we stop making it horrible for the older people and the kids? And I mean, we've got enough smog here in Los Angeles. Let alone to deal with the setting these fires and things. It's just not right, and it's not gonna change anything. We'll get our justice. They've won the battle, but they haven't won the war. We'll have our day in court, and that's all we want. And I'm neutral. I love people of color. You know, I'm not picking me out to be. We've got to quit. We've got to quit. You know, after all, I mean, I can understand the first upset for the first 2 hours after the verdict, but to keep going on like this and to see the security guard shot on the ground, it's just not right. It's just not right because those people will never go home to their families again. And please, we can get along here. We all can get along. We just gotta, you know. I mean, we're all stuck here for a while. Let's try to work it out. Let's try and work it out.
We are stuck here for another 57 minutes. It's Reese on the Radio right here on the Maniac Monday of Reese on the Radio. It is June the 18th, 2012. It's the celebrity roast of Rodney King. And I know this is going to engender a lot of passion. I'm so glad JC is here because I knew he was going to be one of those people along with Derek the Bounty Hunter who is going to love Rodney King in some sort of way. They all love him. They love him. They have to find some sort of way to martyr him. They have to do that. There's so much other news that I want to get into. Let me just say this real quick, okay? Because we'll get into some more Rodney King stuff. In fact, you know what? I'm going to wait. Because I have to talk about Burger King. And I will get into Burger King. I promise you I will. We'll do it in the next half hour. We'll get into Burger King. But here's my point. And that was the reason why I gave the monologue that I gave. People want to make Rodney King a martyr. They have no choice but to make him a martyr in some sort of way. As if in some way he thrusted the American culture into recognizing racism with the LAPD. But remember, we're talking about 1991. when gang violence was at its peak. And I don't know whether or not anyone else knows this. I'm sure you do. But in 1991, when Rodney King got that ass whipping, the average lifespan of the African-American male was 21 years old. You can't deny it. None of you can. The average lifespan of the African-American was 21 years old. And what was it due to? LAPD whipping you with a baton? Or was it due to gang violence? NWA was promoting it hardcore. Niggas for Life. Straight out of Compton. A crazy mother effer named Ice Cube. All they were talking about was killing their own. Gang violence between the Bloods and the Crips. LAPD was under a lot of stress. I'm not, in no way am I giving them a pass for beating Rodney King. I'm not trying to do that. But everybody remembers the life expectancy of the African-American male during that time. Eazy-E said it best. We're just talking about the conditions of our hood. And what did Eazy-E talk about? The Eazy-E talked about how the LAPD was racist. But on the next record, he was talking about me give a F about a bitch. I ain't a sucker. And killing his own people. But the LAPD was racist. He could kill, shoot, and murder all of the people in his neighborhood. He could be dope man, selling drugs to kill his community. But the LAPD was racist. Come on. Let's deal with what the facts are. People don't like to deal with the facts. They know what the truth is. Come on, look at NWA. The reason why NWA, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a history lesson for all of those people who don't remember this. Sound scan. Do you know anything about this, Mary? What SoundScan?
No.
SoundScan began when NWA came into the game. Now, before SoundScan, Billboard used to do this record thing where they used to say what the number one record was. And it was based upon projections of record sales. There was no real data to tell you what record was doing the best. When SoundScan came out, which was a digital sort of barometer as to what album was doing the best, I think a week or two after SoundScan started, Niggas for Life by NWA ended up on the top of the SoundScan scale. The record producers went nuts. Record labels went crazy. They didn't know who the hell NWA was. They didn't know how they became so popular and why they were on the top of the heap. Why were they beating guys like Michael Jackson and Phil Collins and Duran Duran? Why were they beating Madonna? Why were they beating Janet Jackson? Why were they beating these big names in the music industry? Why were they beating them? Because SoundScan had recorded this little album called Niggas for Life that had zero, not a radio play. And it found out that there were people out there buying this album. And then all the record labels went out and bought the album to find out what these NWA niggas with attitudes were talking about. And they heard lines like, me get the, give a F about a bitch, I ain't a sucker. Bang, bang, shoot 'em up, nigga, die slow. That was the 90s. That was the earlier 90s. That was the thrust of this gangster era and the end of the golden era of hip-hop. Tribe Called Quest, Leaders of the New School, what was the other one? De La Soul. They were done. Over at Jive Records, they were done. Tommy Boy, they were done. Fat Joe went from, you gotta flow, Joe, you gotta flow, Joe, you gotta flow, Joe, to Don Cartagena. Fat Joe became a mobster out of nowhere because the record labels were saying, Look at what's selling on SoundScan. These guys are talking about killing and shooting people. And I'll tell you a personal story. I promoted my demo to Warlock Records, Beat Market. The album was called Industry Rule Number 4080. And the A&R of the label said when he heard my demo, you're not killing enough niggas and slapping enough bitches on your record. That's what's selling today. So to get back to the Rodney King thing, you get my point? Rodney King was in a high-speed chase on a Hyundai, avoiding the police, knowing that there were kids out there who were shooting and killing and robbing people. And all they saw was a nigga 100 miles and running. That is a reference to a NWA song, by the way, for those of you who don't get it. 100 miles and running. And Rodney King got out of the car and refused to lay down and submit. That's the facts, like it or not. So call him a martyr if you want to, but the facts are the facts. Let's bring in our wide array of... I love it. My boys are in here. Mike, Edward, JC, Derek the Bounty Hunter. Hey, anybody want to argue with me on my point? Anybody? I know Derek does. Go on, Derek the Bounty Hunter. I'll let you go first.
Well, first of all, the record's name wasn't Niggas for Life. It was Effel for Zaggy. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know where you got this.
Yeah,
Niggas
it was
life.
Backwards. The word was Niggas for Life. But go on. Where's your point?
Look, you know, but
look,
like I said, you know what I was first going back to. You know, look, you know, gangster rap is what it is. You know, nobody wants to be educated. I mean, I'm serious, man. You know, that whole education rap, that's what took New York from being, you know, number one in hip hop sales to all these other parts of the country, the West Coast and now the South. You know what I mean? Because the whole thing is nobody
that
wants to be educated.
Rap crap.
That's why, Derek,
I ask you, I implore you, make an argument for what I just said. The LAPD was dealing with a different type of Negro then. True or false?
Well, all right, let's put it like this. Okay, talk about the LAPD. Boy, shoot, after that Rodney King thing, that got rid of Daryl Gates, didn't it? And then after that, LAPD had its first black police chief who had his job for about 10 years. So, I mean, you know, how was that a bad thing?
Okay, so you think it's a good thing because there was a black chief of police? How did it change the dynamic of violence amongst the black-on-black community? The black-on-black crime, did it change anything, Derek?
Well, there's a lot less shootings going on in L.A. right now, isn't there?
And not only that, Reese, but it stopped the blue-on-black crime.
The blue-on-black crime? Did it really
the police.
Okay, so fine. So you're saying Rodney King changed all that, or you're saying NWA changed that?
I'm saying as a result of all that. You know, scratch the NWA. Like
the
I said, NWA was trying to make money. Like I said, like I keep trying to get to you, man. That education rap, man, took New York from the top of hip hop, man. Has pushed it back to New York. Still has hip hop stars, but that education rap was nonsense, man. People don't want to learn. Why do you think that record of LMF? You know what you want to talk about with that damn
LMFAO?
Yeah, those people are making a lot of money. Those people don't want to learn anything. You know what I'm saying? People just want a damn party, man. You know what I'm saying? And you know what's still sexy? Sex, guns, drugs, and violence. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Shoot,
go ahead, Mike in Florida. I want to hear what do you have to say. Please, make my argument for me or tell me where I'm wrong here.
Well, you know, it's this whole, you know, NWA just wanted to make money argument. Well, yeah, you know who else wants to make money? Pornographers. You know, it doesn't mean that it's acceptable or admirable. You know, hip hop, unfortunately, is a poison on the black community. It's horrible.
Well,
It's horrible.
Derek doesn't like that.
Mike, have you ever been to Blue Martini? Mike, have you ever been to Blue Martini?
Derek, come on. Let me get back to my point. Right? I came across a video just the other day from a dude who's, what's it, Waka Flocka Flame? Okay.
Love it. Love
right?
it. Have you seen Mariah?
And the name of this song, I kid you not, is Make Them Guns Blam. All right? Make Them Guns Blam. What the hell is going on? I mean, that's pornography. That stuff shouldn't sell. And, you know, this is the hero to black youth.
Mike, have you ever been to the Blue Martini out here by the Millennium Mall? I mean,
no.
have you been to that place? I mean, it's basically a white club, right? You know, basically you got a lot of businessmen come from out of town, you know, and go to this place, you know.
No.
Dude, they play nothing. If you have 10 brothers in that club at any time, that's a lot of black people, dude. They play nothing but hip-hop, man. They play nothing but.
So
furthermore, Larry, let me make this point too.
So you sitting over here saying that hip hop is a scourge of black? You gotta be kidding me, man.
Hold on, let's back up for one moment. Let me get this point out real quick. Cause I think I'm gonna die here in one moment. For the very longest time, purchasers, customers, buyers of hip-hop music has been the Caucasian community.
Yeah, of course.
We started buying our own music
a long
time ago.
Because black people are excited.
You know why?
Because black people are excited, man.
No, that's not why. That's not why.
It's
that's not
tourism.
Why, Derek. No. Here's a fact.
Tourism,
This is a fact. Let me explain to you why. There's one thing that the African-American community, the black community, so to speak, understands about hip-hop music is that it's disposable. And nobody can dispute this, okay? No person, and there's a difference, there's a disparity between white people and black people when it comes to music. When white people purchase music and the music that they purchase will last a lifetime. They look at their artists and they look at what's meaningful to them. And they will purchase that music, and they will listen to it, purchase it, be a part of it for a long time because it has something to do with the dynamic of their lives. Hip-hop, on the other hand, is disposable. The song that you listen to in hip-hop has a six-month lifespan. It has a six-month lifespan. A song that you
but
like today, you will, but black people will not purchase a song that they're going to hate 6 months later. That's the truth.
Tell me where black people have ever been dubbing tapes from the beginning of time.
Tell me where black people have taken music, aside from the golden era of hip hop. Tell me where black people have taken a hip hop song and have made it last more than 6 months. Name one.
Broadway, it takes two.
Oh, come on, you're talking
about 1988.
That's what I'm saying.
Y'all didn't ask me what year. Okay, Rapper's Delight, man. What are you talking about?
No, again, I'm talking about music today. Hip-hop music today. Taylor Swift's music. Carrie Underwood's music is going to last 10 years.
Oh, Frank, give me a break, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. So y'all sit over there telling me, how come they ain't playing Carrie Underwood at the Blue Martini again? I told you, that's a white joint. They ain't playing Carrie Underwood there.
Yeah, but I bet they played it. They played it at the Dallas Pool.
At the Blue Martini. No night, dude. No night of the week. We can go there every night, Mike. We'll go there every night, Mike. Mike, let's go every night next week. Don't want to pick up some white women anyway.
Let me jump in.
I just wanted to point out something. I think Derek brought up a good point about the difference. He brought up a point about the white club that plays a lot of hip-hop music. But I also want to point out, you will find a higher percentage of young black youth who try to emulate the lifestyle of these so-called gangster rappers than you would find the same number of white people who, you know, who buy and purchase that music.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've seen the occasional wigger, but they're pretty rare. And they're kind of
wiggers. Dad, what I keep telling you about this, man, Blue Martini, dog, let's go. So you got some of the whole cold crowd of businessmen, man, wiggers? Yeah, so come on, like I said, man, they don't play Cotter County. I don't know what they'll get no play at Blue Martini, dog.
They may play it for a white audience, but how many of those white guys are leaving the club and going and shooting up the parking lot afterwards?
Exactly. When is Blue Martini's parking lot got shot up, man? They had that damn what's his name? That lawyer that comes on TV all the time. He was there getting with his damn Brazilian girlfriend getting a DUI. You know what I'm talking about, man?
So you are saying that the Blue Martini's parking lot got shot up at some point?
No, DUI with the damn lawyer. That broad clock doesn't get shot up, man.
That's
what I'm
saying.
You
take your average hip hop joint that's mostly that has mostly a black clientele. You take your average white joint, and they may play hip hop, but you're going to find a lot more, you know, crime happening at the black joint.
Derek? What do you mean, of course? You're saying like that's okay. Derek, is that okay? As we made the point about Rodney King, is that here was a black guy who was a criminal, who was on parole, under the influence, leading the police officers on a wild goose chase at speeds exceeding 65 miles per hour, and this guy gets to be a martyr? Tell me how!
Like I said, his experience changed America, man.
It didn't change anything, Derek.
Yes, it
didn't
it did.
Make
no,
us
no.
less racist. How did it make
yeah,
us less
it,
racist?
It just made cops taser people.
That's all it did. That's all it did. Did it change
And like
anything?
I said, and it made them scared of the video cam, baby. Made them scared
you know,
of the cam.
Well, it means that it made them afraid of being caught being racist, Derek. It doesn't
yeah, exactly,
them.
Exactly, because they were outrageous. You know what one video cam I liked? I remember seeing in South Carolina some school teacher from Miami, right? I mean, she was a Sunday school teacher. She had done 80 or 65, and you had to see the way this policeman pulled her out and threw her on the ground and everything. Boy, that dude lost his job all because
again,
of the video cam.
He threw her out,
put her on the floor and everything, and made the woman she spent a night in jail. Right? And because of the video cam, he lost his job, didn't he?
Let's go.
It was a Sunday school teacher.
Let Mike know.
Yeah,
Mike,
well,
what, you saw that video as well, Mike?
I saw that videotape too. And let's be a little honest now. The reason she got yanked out of the car is because she had a full-on Monique moment, lost her crap on that cop.
Oh man, no, you didn't see that on a videotape. I didn't see that. I saw him run out the car, man, damn guns blazing.
No, dude, cops don't see
that. Grab that Sunday school teacher and tie on the ground.
Derek,
you know what I'm saying? Come on,
man.
She looked like a damn librarian, dude. She was not threatening.
Did she get out of the car when he told her to get out of the car?
Huh?
Did she get out of the car?
Did she comply with the police call?
Then why did he lose his job?
Because it was on videotape and they want to stop Negroes from lying.
Dude, man, he brutalized the damn a Sunday school teacher, man. That had no criminal background.
I don't care if she was a Sunday school teacher. I don't care if she was a nun.
Yeah, what does that mean, Derek? She's a Sunday school teacher. That means that she must have a higher level.
If it wasn't for Rodney King and the force of them using and having to have that video camera, man, that dude would have got away with what he did to that woman.
Okay,
and it
so
was
I
wrong,
do,
man.
Okay,
it
so
was
I'll
wrong.
Derek, I will ask you this, okay? And before we take a break, I'll give you the last word, and you explain this to me. So you're telling me what's the honest significance of Rodney King in Arkansas? If you no, because I called him a footnote, and you thought that I was wrong in suggesting that he was just a footnote. Answer this question for me. What is Rodney King to the plight going further? Like, what's Rodney King's lineage, so to speak? I mean, what would you consider?
His lineage is that he forced law enforcement to, you know, take a look at themselves. You know, you just can't go ahead and treat people like that.
talking about
rights. You can't treat people like that.
Not,
all right?
No, no.
Because if it was rights,
no.
All right, nobody would have had, if it was right, there wouldn't have been riots like that, man, where 53 people died and $1 billion worth of damage, if it was right. Okay? They wouldn't have had to have video cameras and all police cars all across America if it was
well
right.
Now. Well, now let me take another step here, okay? If Rodney King had been white, let me tell you what would have happened. White people would have looked at that and said, dude, Derek, come on, dude, let me talk, would you? If Rodney King had been white and that videotape had come out, white people would have said, yeah, he deserved his ass whipping, and nobody would have said anything.
You probably.
And you know it's true. White people pretty much figure the cops are white. There's no. If Trayvon Martin had been white, we would have said, okay, you know, a little thug got killed.
No, if Trayvon Martin was white and dude was black, man, he would have been went to jail that night. What are you talking about, Derek? Oh,
well,
come
first
on,
of all,
man. I'm calm now.
I didn't say if the guy who shot him was black. I said if Trayvon Martin had been white and George Zimmerman shot him as a white guy, I would have said, okay, no big deal. Little thug got grief.
I asked you a legitimate question. My legitimate question is this. You're talking about with the outcome of Rodney King's beating. What I'm asking you is this, is that what significance does Rodney King have to the movement? As I'm saying, what did he do?
On a personal level.
On a personal level, what did Rodney King
beyond
do for the movement?
He took off for the cause, though. He took off for the cause, man.
What?
I'm glad it wasn't a law-abiding brother that took one like that. And he sure took ass with
He said, I'm taking a break. Derek said he took one for the cause. That's what he said. He said Rodney King took one for the cause. So in essence, Rodney King was nothing more than... I don't even know how to put it anymore. We'll take a break. We got to come back. I promise I'll get into I got to get into the bacon Sunday at Burger King. It's the celebrity roast of Rodney King. We're done there. And we'll move on. We'll take a break. We'll be right back at 3 on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the 5 states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right, ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
On the radio, we're back 33 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com, June the 18th, 2012, Maniac Monday. Now, I gave some homework.
No, you did not give any homework.
I did give homework.
No, I made the suggestion.
You made the suggestion, so I gave homework.
No.
Well, I didn't give homework?
Okay, whatever.
Now, I'm glad that I got the guys on the phone. JC's not on today, but we'll get his opinion tomorrow. So I got Mike in Florida, and I've got Edward
in Connecticut.
I don't know if Derek the Bounty Hunter tried it or was even interested, but we'll find out. Now, I tried it today. I waited until the last possible day to try this because I didn't want to do it. I did not want to do this. Burger King, which I'll admit I like better than McDonald's. Not a lot better, but I like a little better than McDonald's because I believe
Wendy's is better than the bus.
Well, I like Burger King better than McDonald's because I believe that the meal is more substantial. Like the Whopper to me is more substantial than the Big Mac.
Yes.
That's just me. Now, I'm not saying that one is, you know, worse.
And it tastes better, too, though.
Well, okay, but so we told everybody, let's try this bacon sundae, where they put bacon with ice cream.
caramel and hot fudge.
Caramel, that's right. Caramel and hot fudge. So we tried it. And now, what was the girl's name? Because we promised we'd give her a shout out. Lily?
Maybe.
Lily,
yeah,
I think her
was.
Name was.
It was something crazy.
We promised to give Lily a shout out. We gave her a shout out.
Shout out to Lily at the BK.
At the BK. Biddy's in the BK lounge. That's a De La Soul reference. For those of you who don't
crispy
know.
Crispy chicken.
So, we went and tried it. I would not buy my own. But I'm going to get the review from the guys. Let's go to Derek first and find out whether or not he tried it, cuz I have a strange feeling he didn't bother.
Phone bill in the morning.
Derek.
I got to pay my cell phone bill in the morning.
Have a little conversation now talking about a cell phone bill. Okay, let's go to Edward, who I know tweeted about this. Edward, you tweeted about your experience with the bacon sundae.
Oh, yeah, I tried it this afternoon.
And you tried it this afternoon?
Yeah, yeah. And okay. Full disclosure, I'm a huge bacon fan. But
okay.
I'm not really an ice cream guy.
Okay.
But I would think, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, I thought the bacon pieces were a little too big in some cases. You know, they put like a big, like half a slice of bacon, you know,
right.
Just I guess as a garnish on the side.
Right.
But actually the salting and sweetness worked kind of well when you had the small pieces of bacon. You know, the bigger pieces kind of, you know, didn't really work for me.
They were distractions.
Yeah, yeah, when they were too big, yeah.
So if I were to ask you on a scale of 1 to 10 on the bacon sundae, 1 being poor, 10 being great, what would you give it?
I would just give it an average of 5.
Oh,
it's probably not something I would try again. You know, maybe once a year I might buy one if I'm feeling a little, you know, like I want a little something weird to eat. But it's not something I...
So this is an adventure. This is an adventurous sort of like buy.
Exactly.
Okay, so 5 you're giving it. You're giving it squared down the middle.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get Mike. Mike in Florida here, our friendly neighborhood white guy. Mike, what did you think of this? Because I got your tweet, and you were probably a little more excited than Edward on this one.
Yeah, I mean, is it the best thing I've ever tasted? No. I mean, was it Denny's did a bacon sundae last year when they had their bacon menu. They came out with all their bacon-flavored items, and Denny's was better, as you would expect. But, yeah, I like the Burger King one. The bacon, it might have been better if the bacon had been warm, I think, because it was just cold bacon. But the bacon had good flavor. It was nice, thick pieces. It worked well with the ice cream. I think the combination of the caramel and the hot fudge was too much. They could have chosen one or the other.
You're saying they didn't need the chocolate and the caramel. They could have chosen one or the other.
I would have probably preferred with just the hot fudge, maybe.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a solid. I give it a solid 7. I mean, I'm not going to eat it a lot, but it was tasty.
Okay, and coming from a personal trainer, 7 is pretty high.
Well, I mean, you know, I do put, you know, bacon in my protein shake though, so I'm not your average personal trainer.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to let Mary go on this one, and then I'll give my review. Mary, what did you think of it?
I wouldn't go back and get it. I wouldn't be like, oh, let's go get a bacon sundae from Burger King again. The bacon was too thick for me. I like my bacon thin and crispy. Had the bacon been thinner and crispier to where it was just nice, it had a nice, quick little crispy, crunchy, and gave it a little bit of a salty flavor, that would have been okay, but you had to chew it too much. I didn't like that it was thick. I didn't like the big pieces.
Exactly.
And I
yeah.
did
I
not like
problem.
The cat. I'm sorry?
I had the same problem with the big pieces.
Yeah, I did too. And I didn't like how thick they were. Then the caramel to me was not good. I'm not a caramel ice cream fan. I don't like that in my ice cream. The hot fudge would have been fine by itself. So I would not go back and be like, oh, let me go get, you know, another bacon sundae.
Okay. Are you guys interested in my review?
The presentation was good. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The presentation was...
Like, it was more than what I thought it was going to be.
It was. It was a good presentation. Edward, you tweeted today, or did you Facebook today a picture of yours?
Facebook.
You did. I saw your picture. I was actually intrigued that you did that, because we had tweeted a picture of ours today. So let me break down what it is that I got from this. And I got Derek on the line now. Derek, have you tried the Burger King Bacon Sundae yet?
You know what? To be honest with you, you know, I sit there and think about, well, no, I haven't tried it, but, you know, what's up with you Republicans trying to get America fat, man? Dude, that just sounds disgusting, man.
No, we were just talking about it. We were talking about it, Derek. It was a conversation that came up
last week.
And we just decided, hey,
we're going to try it.
Go try it.
It just makes me feel like diarrhea, man.
And hold on. In fact, Reese and I didn't even finish ours. We took a couple of bites and ended up throwing the rest of it in the trash.
Now, let me give you my review. And I think Edward and Mike are going to agree with this assessment of the Bacon Sundae. One, here's the thing. The word that comes to mind when I saw this thing, the word was overwhelming. And this is why I use that word. I didn't expect the bacon to be so overwhelming. It outdid the sundae. And here's why. Because it's a big chunk of bacon that they put on top of the sundae. We all agree there?
Yep.
big chunk of bacon that they put on top. This made the whole ice cream experience overwhelming. That's the reason why I had a problem with it. It was ice cream doesn't need anything other than what I call its the accoutrements, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you grab a sundae, you want to throw some nuts in, that's fine. If you want to throw some candy in, some M&Ms, some chocolate chips, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. But when you throw something like bacon in, bacon should not be overwhelming, because, in essence, the reason why you're purchasing this is because of the bacon. You want to know whether or not the bacon is going to complement the sundae. Ice cream needs no complement. It doesn't. It's ice cream. All you know, you scream ice cream. We all scream for ice cream. No one has ever begged for bacon to be a part of that. So for the bacon to be all-consuming of the sundae ruins it. And you guys gave it better marks than I would. I ate this thing, and I got nothing more than a 3. And the only reason why I give it the 3 points is because it was something different. All 3 points go to the fact that it was new. That's it. Did it appease me? Did it make me want ice cream sundae even more? Did it make me want to experiment with the sundae? Did it make me applaud the fact that they would go to another level with sundaes? No. It actually took away from the sundae experience. Can you guys agree there that it didn't do much to enhance a sundae experience?
Well, yeah, it was a circus trick. That's all. It was, you know, look how much bacon we can put in this sundae. And, you know, I'm going to go get a bacon sundae, so damn it, you better put a lot of bacon on my bacon sundae. I'd have been disappointed if there was just, you know, essence of bacon.
Okay, I understand that. So you're saying that it was, like, it really lived up to the hype, so to speak.
Yeah, the whole point of it was bacon.
Yeah, but should bacon overwhelm the sundae?
In a bacon sundae? Yeah, they didn't call it a sundae with bacon. They called it a bacon sundae.
So you believe that the bacon should overwhelm it?
Exactly. I think there should have been more bacon. They should have found bacon-flavored ice cream and poured bacon grease on it.
Edward, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the bacon was a bit overwhelming. Actually, that big piece of bacon that was on the side, I didn't even eat it. I gave it to my dog. He was sitting in the back seat of my car.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Not only did I eat my entire bacon sundae, I had a pulled pork barbecue sandwich and sweet potato fries there. I went whole hog, son.
Wow. You went whole hog.
That sweet potato fries are good, though.
So you had
they were.
Mike, you had sort of like a pork overload.
Oh, hell yeah. I wish they had pork soda.
Pork. He said, I wish they had pork soda.
Oh, my God.
Pork,
which
pork
was the name of a Primus. It was a Primus record back in the 90s.
That's right. So I don't think I'm going to go back and do this again. I think that this product is going to fail.
I want to try their Oreo sundae.
No. It's a limited menu item anyway. They're just doing this for the summer.
Do you guys believe that this product is going to fail? Because I don't.
I'll tell you, man. When I ordered mine, I asked the girl how many they'd sold on day one, and she said they were selling them all day long.
Really?
I don't think the product is designed to be a long-term item. It's designed to bring people into Burger King. Because I would have gone to Burger King today unless they had a bacon sundae and we had this discussion about it.
Right. This whole challenge to do so. I think it's nothing more than the term that I always use? It's a marquee sort of idea. It's like, you know, you go there to try it, and you get a response, and that's about it. That's why I believe it's a novelty act. That's the term I always use. It's a novelty act. I don't think this could last because I don't think that anyone's really interested. I'm surprised because I didn't ask that question to the girl who sold it to us. I didn't ask her whether or not they were selling an exorbitant amount of them, whether or not people were requesting it, or whether or not people were just trying it to find out what it was like. It seems novelty to me.
You know, America is fat. We're not the fattest nation on earth, but we're number two. Do you know what the fattest nation on earth is?
Please.
Australia.
Really?
Wow.
The Australians are massively fat.
Is that from...
And it only happened in the last 10 years. It's because we gave them fast food.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they drink a lot of beer.
Well, yeah. Foster's will fill you up. So Derek, are you going to try it?
Oh, come on now, please. Y'all can have that. You know, I listen to our first lady and try to eat healthy.
If Michelle Obama eats healthy, how come her ass is getting bigger?
Oh, what are you talking about, man? Look, man, she has the sexiest ass out of any first lady
ever. If you put white pants on that bitch, you could show movies on her ass.
Like I said, she has the finest ass out of any first lady we ever had.
Come on, dude.
She
don't got no butt. What are you talking about, man? That's why her husband was cheating on her with Marilyn Monroe, because Marilyn Monroe had that booty for a white girl.
You know how much Marilyn Monroe weighed, by the way? Everybody likes to think she was this big woman. Marilyn Monroe was 5'5", and she weighed 120 pounds.
That's right.
But she has some booty for a white girl, all right, which Jackie Kennedy
didn't have.
She's 5'5",
120, couldn't have had much of a booty. She was little. She was tiny.
Come on now, man.
She was hot.
Nice.
I mean, she may have been little, but it was in the right places. She's kind of a voluptuous woman.
Exactly. Come on, man. That chick was booming, dog. You know, I give it to that one.
I kind of lean more toward Raquel Welch myself.
Yeah, I'm there with you.
Raquel was shredded to the bone in that movie where she played the cave woman, that little, you know.
Oh, yeah, 5,000 BC. Oh, 5 million BC, something like that, right?
Yeah, she still
looks good now. She's 70, and I think I would still hit it.
I don't know about all that, man.
Talk about objectifying women. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll end the show. It's Reese on the Radio with my friend, Edward from Connecticut, Mike from Florida, friendly neighborhood white guy, Derek the Bounty Hunter. JC is dealing with some person. We'll be back.
Yeah. President Obama released his tax returns. It turns out he made $900,000 less in 2011 than he did in 2010. You know what that means? Even Obama is doing worse under President Obama. Well, in an interview with The Atlantic, that magazine, President Obama said he prefers Jay-Z to Kanye. That's what he says. Did you know Obama was a fan of hip-hop? Did you know that? In fact, he has his own rap nickname, Biggie Deficit. That's his nickname.
Blog Talk Radio.
If I don't recognize your name, you're a nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. That's the guy, Michael Simon. Never forget it. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the bald-headed guy, right? That's it.
Right, right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
Michael Simon. Dress like the chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, he is.
Is that significant?
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The come adult on. Beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Here on Blog Talk Radio, it is June the 18th, 2012. Has anybody been following this this whole thing with the Jerry Sandusky case?
I mean, yeah, I've been listening to it, yeah.
And I got a huge problem with this whole case. I got a really, really big problem with this case. Not so much that Jerry Sandusky can't just openly admit that he's a pedophile. Is that the defense in this case has made these claims that he suffers from some sort of mental disorder.
Yeah, like to justify his actions.
Right, you know, the creepy love letters, the, you know, the inappropriate touching. I don't know who is or who isn't telling the truth in his case. I'm not going to try his case here. I'm not going to do that. I had a problem with Bob Costas, the Bob Costas interview, when Bob Costas just asked him plainly, hey, you know, are you attracted to little boys? And he hesitated answering that question. He didn't just come flat out and just say, no, Bob, no, that's not true. And he went in this roundabout way and says, well, do I like young people? You know, I like being around them and all. Like, he was dodging the whole thing. It's like, he knew what Bob Costas was asking him. Do you like touching little boys, weirdo? And he should have just said, no, I don't think of little boys in that way, and that would have been the end of it. But he did this whole dodge and dip, dive, dodge, dodge. And I'm doing the dodgeball there. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, dodge. He did that whole thing instead of just saying, no, Bob, I have no interest. He didn't have enough to just say that. Prosecution has looked at their case and just said, look, we're done with this. We brought up all the witnesses, and this is what they told us. And you know what? You guys defend that. Now, I hear they're bringing up all these character witnesses about, you know, Jerry Sandusky. And look, the part that bothers me.
They keep trying to talk about all the things that he has done.
Oh, you mean the great things that he's done for the kids?
Yeah, like, why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about all the great things I have done? I know that I've...
I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm going to bring the guys in this in a minute, because I'm going to let them get the last word on this. But let me tell you why that the defense is doing this. The defense is bringing up the character of Jerry Sandusky and what he's done for these kids, you know, taking them to the game, being a mentor, and all that stuff, because they believe, and this is a sort of a microcosm of where we are as a society, that if it's true that Jerry Sandusky molested these boys. Excuse me. What should be more important
is all the boys that he didn't molest.
No. His charitable contribution to those who are downtrodden and without, you know, those who are disenfranchised. That they believe that a jury will look at and go, it should trump it all. It should say, you know what, this guy's really done great things for these kids. So what? He touched a couple of them in an inappropriate way. So what? That he was in the shower naked with them having oral sex. According to a witness who saw it. So what? They believe that this will win. I believe this is a microcosm of our society. I believe that this is, we have a...
I don't think he's going to be found guilty. I don't think he's going to be found not guilty.
This man's going to spend the rest of his life in jail. And I promise you this, that if he's found guilty, I'm going to make a prediction, and we'll find out from the guys. We'll give them the last word on this. Jerry Sandusky will kill himself. I'm going on the deep end on this one.
He probably will.
I believe it, too. Let's go to Edward and Mike on this one. Am I wrong here, guys, that Jerry Sandusky, he's free. He's free on bail. He can go back and forth to court. Do you believe he killed himself?
I think it won't even get to the verdict. If it's looking like he's going to get hammered, I think he's going to kill himself. Because if he gets found guilty, they'll probably just take him straight off to jail. And jail is no place for a child molester.
Absolutely. I think exactly. And the fact that he would have... It being accused and convicted in this particular case, if he's convicted of molesting boys, I believe he's got a harder chance of living in prison.
We all saw Boogie Nights, right? Shut up, girl.
Edward, what do you think?
I think that he'll probably end up going to jail. I think that someone will end up killing him. Like, what's his name, Jeffrey Dahmer?
Oh, Jeffrey Dahmer, right.
Yeah, I think he'll end up getting killed by another inmate. But I also want to say that I don't know if Derek is still on the line.
No, Derek's gone. Derek's gone.
I think this may be one issue where he and I agree, that if someone asks you whether you like young boys or you're attracted to young boys, the only proper answer to that is an open-handed slap to the mouth to the person who asks you that question.
There you go! I'm with you there.
There is no other proper answer. No humming and hawing. No, well, maybe I'd like to be around young people. No, it's an open-handed slap to the mouth.
Yeah,
I don't care.
You know him and Bob about how you're going to answer that question. I slapped Bob Costas in the face.
Exactly.
I know they were on the phone. They were on the phone when they had that interview. But Bob Costas, he just caught a five-figure discount. He just caught it right across the mouth. I don't him and haw about that. That's ridiculous.
Well, do you remember when Ed Bradley interviewed Michael Jackson about touching little boys?
Right.
And Ed Bradley gave him the look like, man, are you crazy? Yes, it's okay to have other kids sleep in your bed with you, and don't you climb trees?
It's so right. That's our show. That's our show. Thank you, Emil. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Derek the Bounty Hunter, the producer. We'll take a break. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Much more news, much more views. When we return, it's Reese on the Radio. What brand new week. God, the Supreme Court, will you please come down with this decision on Obamacare? I'm desperate. I need it to happen. It's Reese on the Radio tomorrow.